Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. The best-known native of Vermont's Plymouth Notch is probably President Calvin Coolidge. But if you visit the little graveyard in the village, someone else's grave is arguably more intriguing. At the bottom of the stone slab is the inscription, "I Still Live." This is the final resting place, maybe, of Axa Sprague. She was a national celebrity in the years leading up to the Civil War, an abolitionist and activist for women's rights, but first and foremost a spiritualist. Sprague claimed to commune with angels and the dead, and she entranced large audiences across the country who came to listen to her speak. Sprague is the subject of a new historical novel published by the Vermont Historical Society. It's called 7 Years of Grace, The Inspired Mission of Axa W. Sprague, and it's by author Sarah Rath, who spent years researching her subject. She's joining us today from Wisconsin. Sarah, what a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Jane.
This woman had a difficult life. It was quite short. I think she died before her 35th birthday. And she spent something like 7 years in her 20s in bed with what sounds like arthritis and rheumatic fever. But between those 7 years in bed and her death in 1862, she made quite a name for herself. Can you tell us who Axa Sprague was?
Sure. It's interesting that you were just having a discussion about chronic pain, because she came down with what was probably rheumatoid arthritis when she was 20, and she was confined to a darkened room for the next 7 years. But then she prayed and she wrote poetry and claimed that when she was between 26 and 27, she was visited by angels, and they cured her of this disease, but they gave her a mission. They charged her with a mission to travel and tell of her recovery and the message of spiritualism that we do not die. So she kept a diary and wrote poems about this experience, and her first public lecture was in 1854 in South Reading. And after that, she spent the rest of her life traveling the country as a trance lecturer, meaning spirit spoke through her. She stood on the stage by herself, entranced, with her eyes closed, and the words that came out of her mouth were supposedly not her words, but the words of spirit, and they encouraged people to believe in the fact that you can contact the spirits of the dead. And she had huge audiences of thousands of people. I don't know how she managed to have them hear her, although she often suffered from something called minister's sore throat. And I can imagine that that was from trying to project her voice. But she traveled throughout New England and Providence, Rhode Island, and then Connecticut, Philadelphia, New York, upstate New York, eventually Chicago, Milwaukee, St. Louis, Memphis, all prior to the Civil War, and all by herself, which was practically unheard of.
You know, that's interesting in some ways, because in some ways, the thing that was the most scandalous was that this was a woman traveling by herself and being so independent. Not that she was communing with the dead and speaking, you know, through having other people speak through her to these audiences. Can you contextualize spiritualism and being a medium in the day?
Sure. Well, for one thing, it was scandalous for a woman to appear on stage, and to appear on stage alone was pretty scandalous, and to be on stage with your eyes closed and in a trance, that allowed men in the audience to emotionally, psychologically undress you. It was a horrible thing, and she knew she was being criticized for what she wore and how her hair was fixed, and she just closed all of that off.
What was she wearing?
Well, I imagine the fashions of the day, but the picture on the cover of the book, the dress certainly looks like it was homemade. The lace collar is kind of crooked, and the pleats are not perfect.
Though we should say she's not showing any skin. I mean, she was not scandalous. This is just...
No, I don't think she showed skin. No, but just for a woman to be on stage. You know, actresses, actors, they were all thought to be pretty weird, pretty subject to criticism. Hmm. So spiritualism was a religious movement that grew out of a variety of religious revivals that swept through New England in the early 19th century, along with Millerism and Seventh-day Adventism and Mormons and Shakers. And it aimed at proving the immortality of the soul by establishing this communication with spirits. And by mid-century, it was quite pervasive, and it still exists now. People may not realize that. Your listeners may not realize that. But there are still spiritualist churches throughout the United States. And Lilydale, New York, the Lilydale Assembly, is now in its 136th year. And it offers a variety of mediums to choose from if you want to visit them and have them contact someone in your past. It's a very peaceful setting for contemplation, and they have demonstrations of clairvoyance and spiritual healing. And that's where I first learned about Axis Sprague.
So let me ask you, are you a spiritualist? Are you a medium?
No. Well, I had taken a class in the personal development of mediumship, but that was only out of curiosity. I'm a writer. You become very inquisitive about a lot of different things when you're a writer or when you do what you do. And that's an opportunity to reach out and learn about a whole variety of things that the average person probably doesn't feel comfortable doing. But I must say, after studying about Axa and what she did, I don't discount it. I do feel that there is an ability to contact those who have gone before. I guess I don't know if that makes me a spiritualist, but I don't deny it.
Well, it might also give you more of a desire to see Axa Sprague get her due, given that she was such a large figure in the 1850s, and yet, at least in Vermont, where she was from, it doesn't seem like people know her today. Why don't you think she's a name that's very well known?
Well, they certainly knew her then because she wrote for a lot of newspapers in the state. She wrote for the Banner of Light, which was published in Boston and was circulated throughout the country. She wrote for the Green Mountain Freeman and for the Vermont Spiritualist, and she spoke all throughout the state. I mean, every little community demanded that she come. I mean, truly demanded. They would send her a letter and say, we want you here, and at what time. So in the 1850s, she was extremely popular. You say, why wasn't she more popular now?
Why don't people know about her now, do you think?
Well, she died prior to the Civil War. She died at the age of 34, and there was a book published after her death that contained her poetry and a story about her life that her mother published. But, you know, after the Civil War, people had a lot of other things on their minds. And after the Civil War, there were other mediums who became more outspoken and better known, and they were much more flamboyant. She was actually quite modest in her persona.
You know, you, in researching this book, which took you many years and led you through twists and turns,
yes,
you were searching the whole time, it sounds like, for Axa Sprague's original diary, because you could find excerpts in other people's writings, but what was between the ellipses was sometimes the most intriguing for you. And I understand that you almost got your hands on her diary and didn't. Can you just tell us that story?
Sure. In 1941, a man named Leonard Twinnum had published excerpts from Axa's diary in the Vermont Historical Society's Proceedings, which is a publication that came out then several times a year, and I believe still does. And he did this in two different versions, one in September and one in December. They were excerpts from her diary, and he had purchased these in a bookstore in Rutland. I suppose it was Tuttle's Bookstore, which handled rare books, along with a box of other materials. And he edited them. And he was also a minister. And there are a lot of ellipses in there, and that means stuff is taken out. And as a researcher, I am dying to know what he edited out, if it was a bunch of good stuff that would have made my book a lot more colorful, or if it was just for the sake of being more concise. So I looked everywhere. I got really impulsive, obsessed about this search. And finally, a couple of years ago, it popped up on eBay, of all places. And Paul Carnahan, who's the librarian at the Vermont Historical Society, and I made separate bids on this. We couldn't believe it. We were just absolutely stunned because I had used a psychic, I had used a clairvoyant, I had researched all of his libraries in the country that carried diaries and so forth. I mean, I was tireless in my research. And we made so many bids on this, and it sold for $5,000. So we couldn't do that. And we have no idea who purchased it. We've not been able to contact them. I hope maybe with the publication of this book they'll come forth.
Well, I hope so, too, for your sake. Nonetheless, tons of research in this book, including new information about AXA Sprague. The book is called 7 Years of Grace, The Inspired Mission of AXA W. Sprague. It's published by the Vermont Historical Society. Sarah Rath is the author, and she'll be in Vermont in June for several events, including in Plymouth Notch on June 12th, when a state historic marker will be dedicated to AXA Sprague. Sarah, thank you so much for talking with us.
I'd like to add just one small thing.
Make it quick.
Yes, I will. Spiritualists were in favor of free love, and AXA despised it, but she became unintentionally involved with a married man, and that adds a lot of passion to the second half of the book.
Good. Well, if that's not a tease, I don't know what is. Thanks very much to Sarah Rath.
You're welcome. Thank you.